on ABC Radio Hobart. This is Drive with Lucy Braden. On air, online, on digital, and the ABC Listen app.
The group behind a push to restore Lake Pedder to its former glory is getting together to watch some previously unseen footage of Brenda Heen and Max Price, two people who went missing 48 years ago after the plane they were flying in disappeared on their way to the sky to write Save Lake Pedder over Parliament House in Canberra. Former Australian Greens leader Christine Milne is the convener of the Lake Pedder Restoration Committee and joins me now. Christine, thanks for your time today.
So great, Lucy, thanks.
Who are Brenda Heen and Max Price?
Well, it was a big campaign to stop the flooding of Lake Pedder back in the early 1970s. And Brenda Heen was a prominent conservationist who was one of the people at the forefront of the campaign to save the lake. She had been in many protests and meetings about the lake, and then she went out to the lake as it was being flooded to have a vigil and so on. But it was decided that they would go to Canberra, as you just said, and skywrite over Parliament House, Save Lake Pedder. And this story of the disappearance of Brenda Heen and her pilot, Max Price. Max was an aviation enthusiast who had flown people into Lake Pedder many, many times. He wasn't as much a part of the campaign as Brenda was, but he was certainly there to fly her to Canberra on this mission. So they set out in the Tiger Moth and from Cambridge, and they were never seen again. Now, before they left, Brenda had had a phone call saying, "Mrs. Heen, do you want to have a swim?" And that was from an anonymous caller, and certainly the hangar had been tampered with. But no one to this day has found the wreckage or the bodies or what actually happened to them. And so in 2008, Scott Millwood made a film, Whatever Happened to Brenda Heen? And tonight we will be showing that film. But what we've never seen before is that one of the supporters of the campaign to save Lake Pedder from flooding was a young ABC cameraman at the time, Peter Donnelly. And he had his own camera and equipment. And he'd been in Canberra the week before because he needed to have his camera cleaned and needed to take it up there to do that. He came back and off his own bat, he went out to Cambridge with his own camera to take footage of them taking off. Now, Peter was 36 at the time. He has since died and his family have agreed to allow us to use this minute and 17 seconds of footage that Peter took, and it's the last film that there is of them taking off before the tragedy occurred.
Oh, wow, that must be so nice for their families to see as well.
Well, I think so. It's just extraordinary because no one knew that it really existed. So we've certainly, Peter took a lot of still shots at the time, and they were sold to various media outlets and so on, but no one was ever aware that there was any video footage, film footage.
So did police investigate this? It's crazy that the plane, their bodies have never been found.
Yes, it is, and it's one of those great mysteries of Tasmanian conservation and politics, whatever did happen to them. The police did investigate it, but frankly, it was an extremely cursory investigation. It was well known that the government of the day found the whole Save Lake Pedder campaign irritating. They were desperate to get on with the flooding of the lake, and so there was not much appetite for any serious investigation. And when I was in politics in the state parliament, the last big push on the Pedder campaign was the Pedder 2000 campaign, and I put in a Freedom of Information request for the police files and did get them after all that, but they didn't really reveal anything.
For those that haven't been to the site, to Lake Pedder, Christine Milne, what does it look like?
Well, now it is a huge flooded lake. It's more than 240 square kilometres of water in the southwest of Tasmania. But the original lake was 12 square kilometres, and it had the most magnificent white or pinkish white quartzite beach on which planes could land. It was an extraordinary jewel of the southwest, the heart of the southwest wilderness. It had been in National Park, and that was revoked in order for the Hydroelectric Commission at that time to go ahead with plans to flood the lake. There was a huge political campaign to save the lake, and out of that campaign, because both the Liberal and Labor parties of the day supported the flooding of the lake, it was really the era of the extreme end of hydro-industrialisation. Then Dr. Richard Jones had come to Tasmania to set up the Centre for Environmental Studies at the University of Tasmania. He declared at the time, well, if both the major parties are going to support the flooding of Lake Pedder, then it's time for a new party. And as a result, the United Tasmania Group was formed, and that is now recognised as the world's first Green Party. And I'm an ambassador for the Global Greens, and I can tell you with Green parties now in more than 90 countries around the world, they all recognise Lake Pedder as the place which led to the formation of a political party which had an ecological ethos at its heart. So it's an extraordinary place. It has great beauty, and every month or so at the time, painters used to go in there, watercolour artists, so Max Angus, Elspeth Hope Johnson, many of them would go in there, Patricia Giles, and paint this beautiful scene. And it's we're hoping that to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the inundation of the lake and the start of the United Nations Decade for Ecosystem Restoration, that we can bring those things together and restore the lake, because globally it is hugely significant. It's recognised in that context, and it would be, if we could make it a flagship of the UN decade, then there would be global attention, and that's exactly what Tasmania needs if it wants to differentiate itself in what is responsible and ecologically sustainable tourism.